Today we want to look at this thought. For a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. Don't take this lightly. I've been doing a series here and trying to figure out what to call it, so I think I'm going to call it Living the Christian Life. To live a victorious, overcoming Christian life, you must forgive people. You must forgive yourself. And if you feel like even God has mistreated you, you have to forgive Him. Jesus clearly taught that we must forgive those who have hurt or offended us. It's not a choice if you want to be blessed and if you want God's blessing and favor in your life. Well, Luke chapter 17, verse 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, and that's what some of us are saying right now, increase our faith. If we're going to have to forgive like that, we need more faith. And how do you know how you forgive? By faith. You don't forgive by feeling, because those feelings sometimes hang around, and sometimes only God can heal those feelings and take care of the feelings. That you forgive by faith and trust God to heal the feelings or restore the feelings. Can you say something? Amen. They said this is going to take a lot of faith, but forgiveness is required. Remember, we forgive by faith. Don't forget that. Say, Lord, I just forgive them by faith. You take care of everything else. And pay close attention. Hopefully, I've got a little wisdom here that will help you through these scriptures. Matthew 6, 14, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Question, is God's forgiveness conditional or unconditional? Is it conditional or unconditional? Look, these passages show that it is not possible to be forgiven without forgiving. We must forgive. Amen. Do you know why America is so full of hate and violence? Because people refuse to forgive. They got to get even. Well, this guy mistreated me. He hurt me. And I'm going to go over and kill him. Wow. And it's happening through all the communities. Can you say something? You see, say praise God. He's going to change things. Come on, we got to believe God to change things. It's got to change with people forgiving each other. They want revenge against people who have not done anything to them. They did something evil, tear down their statue. Let's get even with them. Listen, you can't carry grudges. It's got to go. Amen. Get rid of the hate. Amen. And the way you get rid of it, I think initially, forgive them. Right. And let it go. Unforgiveness and hate and all those things like that, jealousy, all that stuff does really the greatest harm to the person that's carrying it. Unforgiveness will destroy your health. Amen. And it will keep you from getting healed. Amen. To go to heaven, we must forgive others and be forgiven by God. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I prayed that a while ago as a part of the opening prayer. Man, I believe that with all of my heart. If I'll ask anything according to the will of God, in the will of God, and if I'll ask believing, I can receive it. But there's a condition. Everyone claims this promise, but is there a condition? I just said there is. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Whoa. You want your prayers answered? You got to turn loose those grudges so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. This makes it clear when we pray, we must forgive. If we want God to answer our prayers, we need to forgive. Unforgiveness and bitterness can keep us from healing, deliverance, and victory. Dr. Rick Mays tells about a woman who could not be healed. I just went to see him last week for an exam, and I got the report back this week in the mail, and just as I suspected, I'm perfect. Blood pressure and all that stuff is perfect, okay? The Lord's, but Dr. Rick Mays prayed for this lady, and this doctor's had some great miracles, the divine healing miracles. He's the best doctor in town, I tell you that right now. But he's been our doctor for 35 years, I think, approximately. It may be a little bit longer than that. But God has really blessed him with the gift of divine healing. Seems to me like a doctor would go bankrupt if he started getting everybody healed. But there's a lot of people who don't believe. So there's plenty of work. And he's working 16 hours a day now, and so there's plenty of work. But as he prayed for this lady and she walked away, nothing happened, and he knew it. And he said, "Lord, what's going on?" And the Lord says, "She needs to forgive." He called her back up and confronted her. Said, "God says you need to forgive." And she forgave, and God healed her. What does, and that happened, I think, more than once with him. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Matthew 6:12, "Forgive us our debts," even your prayer is conditional. "Forgive me of my sins as I forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." To be forgiven, we must forgive. And I know some of us, including me, maybe thinking, "Oh my, you know, I got to be careful about this thing." But you got to remember, you forgive by faith. Just call her name, say, "Lord, I forgive them by faith." Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord, forgave you." Bear with each other. You got to put up with each other sometimes. Yay. "And forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another." Does forgiveness, here's a good question. I said, I feel like God has worked in some wisdom here. Does forgiveness mean that we are to allow someone to continue to abuse us? After I preached a message like this, I had people come up to me after church, said, "Well, my husband beat me, he treated me awful, almost killed me, and you're telling me I got to go back and take another beating?" No, I'm not. No, I'm not. So it's like a wife who has been abused. You see, we forgive what has been done in the past, but it is not required that we allow them to do it again. If you got the daylights beat out of you or whatever, that should be the end of it. I mean, get the policeman, put him in jail, and stay away from him until he gets an altar, gets truly saved, spirit-filled, and becomes a godly human being. Well, that's awful strong, preacher. Well, that's the way it is. Okay. You may hit me, as I've said many times, you may hit me with a hammer once, and if I survive it, you will not do it a second time. But I see you come at me with a hammer, you're going to have a problem. It is no longer about revenge. It is about protecting ourselves and our families. Somehow, men today seem to be, they think, "Well, it's just all right to let people abuse my family and my kids." No, it's not all right. Well, if I defend them, I might go to jail. Well, I'll just go to jail. We get things all mixed up. Well, turn the other cheek. Well, what does that mean? It means do not seek revenge. I'm not going to slap you just because you slapped me. But if you come at me with a knife or a gun or something, my life is threatened. I have to protect life, human life, and that includes my own. Somebody say amen. Amen. So people get things all mixed up. You forgive people. You do not seek to get even. You let it go. But that doesn't mean you become a doormat. Amen. This is really good. I even got a, that's true. Woo. I haven't got one of those in a long time. It is no longer about revenge. It's about protecting yourself and your family. Jesus illustrates how important forgiveness is in a parable. Matthew 18:23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began," and boy, this is a great parable, and it's told by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. "As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents equaled about $10 million. How many wish somebody owed you that kind of money? was brought to him, verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and the children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Sell him into slavery. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him. He, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Now, who's telling this story? Jesus. Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. $10 million. Get out of here, I forgive you. He had no way of paying that. He needed forgiveness. You have no way of paying your sin debt. I have no way of paying my sin debt. The debt was too big. The only hope was forgiveness. Our only hope is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sin debt is bigger than $10 million. The word of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're all under the death penalty. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you're going to find out one day it's true. You might as well know it now. We're under the death penalty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the second death has been thrown into the lake of fire. And you're not burned up either. It's eternal punishment. That's what the second death is. I've preached on that and proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. To have our debt canceled means we live. Amen. We were under the death penalty, under the penalty of death. And Jesus took my sins and his body and died in my place that I might be forgiven, that the old man, as I preached, was it last week, might be crucified, I might become a new creation in Christ, that I might live a godly life and walk in victory. And now the least I can do is forgive other people. Yes. Matthew 18:28, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is $20, $20. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Now, who's telling this story? Jesus. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. See, that's what we did. We came to the Lord, you know, all broken and depressed and upset, and he forgave us and cleansed us, set us free. Now he says, you got to forgive others just like I forgave you. Yeah. Verse 30, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. You see, when his fellow servants saw what he did, they told the king everything because they were extremely upset. The king said, I canceled all that debt for you. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Verse 34, it says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. You see, when the master discovered that his servant would not forgive, he reversed his decision and decided not to cancel his debt after all. Reminder, Barry Coverson did not tell that story. He read it. Do you want your sin debt canceled? Forgive everyone. Do not make anyone pay their debt to you. Let it go. I'm talking about sin debt, hurting you, wounding you, doing something evil against you. Let it go. And good reason is, if you let it go, God will take it up. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Matthew 18:35. This is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you unless. Now, what does that mean? It means you need to forgive. Okay. Don't be playing games with God. And Lord, help me to forgive. And sometimes I just try to sit and think, is there anybody that's been mean to me I hadn't forgiven them? Besides Stan. And I'm kidding, of course. And it's important to do a little research. Can you say amen? Do I hold anything against anybody? Amen. And I think my greatest temptation is to hold things against me. why in the world you do that stupid thing? You know, and sometimes it's more difficult to forgive yourself. But when it says forgive, it means forgive. Let it go. This is good preaching. I'm going to pray that you'll learn to do good amen. This is how my Heavenly Father would treat each of you unless, no exceptions, each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. There it is. You forgive by faith from here. Lord, I release this thing. Let it go. Jesus says, if we do not forgive, God will treat us the way this king retreated this evil servant. He will make us pay our debt, and we can't pay it. Our debt is eternal death. You see, the secular humanists in our universities preach hate against America because of humans have participated in the slave trade, slavery, the abuse of Native Americans, racism, and everything else. They carry hate and grudges against people, including Christopher Columbus, that have been dead for hundreds of years. These same people abort babies, abuse drugs, practice illicit sexual acts, and rebel against authority, but they want others punished for the sins they have committed sometimes hundreds of years ago. Here's the deal. Unless you forgive, no matter what it is, you will not be forgiven. And these people living in sin and practicing, they need forgiveness really bad. The other guys are dead and probably already in hell. And so they need to let that go. And they're teaching our kids to hate. Tear down a statue because this guy did something bad. I mean, you know, if you tear down all the bad statues, you won't remember your history. And the Bible said, I mean, I was taught, if you forget your history, it will repeat itself. And people that's been evil, we don't need to necessarily tear down their statue. We need to point to our kids and say, don't be like that character. Can you say amen? But these people are so full of hate, they can't even see truth when it's right in front of them. Amen. Hate will blind you. Unforgiveness will destroy your life. You got to let it go. You're going to go to hell for hating somebody else, especially somebody who's been dead for hundreds of years. Amen. What in the world? It's the devil. Yeah. He wants to destroy you. Right. And hating Christopher Columbus is not going to hurt him. If he didn't get things right with God, he's hurting enough. Right. Hey. But it's going to hurt us. Amen. If they do not forgive, unforgiveness will send them to a lake of fire. The first step for anyone to be forgiven is to forgive. Can you imagine going to hell because you will not forgive people who have been dead and in hell for 100 years? Hundreds of years. They are paying for their sin. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And we need to send the message, you got to stop preaching hate. Amen. You got to preach forgiveness. Amen. That's the reason that so many people are murdering each other, is because they will not forgive each other. I got to get even. No, you don't have to get even. If you leave it alone, God will get even for you. Amen. And like Dr. Rick May says, a lot of people that he's prayed for are not getting healed because they will not forgive people. It's not an option. Amen. For me, are you? Amen. And I've been abused and used and hurt and stabbed in the back and everything else. But grudges is not worth it. Unforgiveness is not worth it. Let it go. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. That's what happened in some of these situations, harping on things that happened hundreds of years ago, and they're creating hate over things that's long gone. And unforgiveness. See, this is what rebellious, evil people who are around us are doing right now, harping on everything others have done wrong without recognizing the wrong they have done. They need to forgive, and they need to repent. I need to forgive, and I need to repent. Amen. These people often have good friends hating each other. The sad truth is they can never be forgiven because they will not forgive. Dr. Martin Luther King said, He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Who was mistreated more than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? They wound up even killing him. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Now, he took a stand for what's right, but he would not let unforgiveness keep him from loving people. You got to love people. It's even mean to you. People preaching hate have no power to love because they have no power to forgive. They sure do not speak for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He spoke love and forgiveness, but these people speak revenge and hate. And it's unbelievable how bad that is all around us. It wasn't that way when I was growing up. Somebody just preaching hate in these universities, that's where a lot of it's coming from. And a lot of it has to do with Marxism and destroying this country. But we got to be smart enough to forgive people anyway. Amen. Why does God not allow us to seek revenge? I told you, have a little wisdom here, hopefully. The opposite to forgiveness is revenge. I'm going to get even. I'm going to forgive and let God get even. I've lived that way now for 110 years. Approximately. And I'm telling you right now, I've never had to seek revenge. I've had people tell every kind of lie on me you can think of. And most of them, I just turn it over to God and God takes care of it. Amen. I've seen some people just drop dead. You don't want to mess with a man or a woman of God. Amen. And that doesn't mean the person in the pulpit. That means if you're born again and you're serving God, you're a man or a woman of God. Amen. And you can't be messing with each other either. Okay. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's in the Old Testament law. They were not even allowed to seek revenge. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. In other words, I'm the Lord, and you better do what I say. Most black people who are raped and murdered are raped and murdered by other black people. Most white people are raped and murdered by white people. That's the facts. So why? Because of sin and rebellion against God. And because people carry unforgiveness and grudges and hate, and it leads to murder. If we don't get that kind of stuff out of our heart, it can lead us and cause us to do some horrible things. But even if we never get around to doing those horrible things, it's working inside of us to destroy us. And when you stand praying, your prayers are not going to be answered. When you stand praying, forgive. Well, preacher, you've got no right to say that. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And, you know, I'm preaching this as if I'm perfect, but I'm well aware that I'm not perfect. But I got to preach it strong. Can you say, praise the Lord? Because it's true. And some people say, well, that preacher preached it and he didn't live it. Well, it's still true where he lived or not. Can you say amen? The word of God is still true. It don't justify you doing something bad because some preacher did something bad. Well, they didn't live it, so I don't have to live it. Wait a minute. Okay. It's still true where that preacher lived it a lot. Luke 18:7, and will not, of course, the preacher needs to live it. Don't misunderstand. Luke 18:7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he'll see that they get justice and quickly. And who in this room believes that? Amen. Then forgive. Let it go. Read it again. Some of you may have dozed off. I've had people tell me they buy my sermons and they put them on, play them when they go to bed so they'll go to sleep quickly. Shame on them, but I forgive you. We must teach our children to forgive and not hate. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I'm going to get justice if I leave it alone. But the Bible says if I interfere with it, I may not get justice. I discovered a long time ago, God can do things to people I go to prison for. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. But it's according to your faith. You've got to bring yourself to the point where you believe that. Amen. Jesus says that if you will pray with persistence, God will give. If we will pray with persistence, pray and keep on praying, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, God will give us justice and there will be no need to get revenge or get even. Forgive and let God dish out justice. I mean, thank you. Glad to come to church. You came to church. You're not sure yet. You think it is. Mark 6:18. For John the Baptist had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's Philip's wife. Verse 19, so Herodias, the wife involved, now Herod's wife, nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. Why? Because he was preaching the truth. You know, you shouldn't be stealing your brother's wife. Amen. But she was not able to. She wasn't able to get her hands on him, but she wanted to. And remember, if in your heart you decide to do something and you don't get a chance to do it, you still did it before God. It's still sin. It's as if you did it before God. Well, she couldn't get it done, but before God, she was a murderer. In her heart, she had already killed him. Why did she want to kill the preacher? She didn't like his sermon. That's why I keep saying, I'm just reading the Bible. It's not me. Forgiveness can produce hate and murder. Verse 22, when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. Verse 23, and he promised her with an oath, whatever you asked, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She asked her mother what she should request, and she didn't even have any idea. And I don't know if she even knew about John the Baptist, the preacher, you know. She asked her mother what she should request. Her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. That is what she asked for, and John the Baptist was beheaded. Unforgiveness can end in murder. You know, I have everything under control. You need to get seeds of bitterness and hate and unforgiveness out of you because you don't know what they're going to produce. Me too. When we forgive, we pass up the chance to get even. And that's really well said. When you forgive, you pass up the chance to get even. I'm not going to try to get even with them anymore. I'm going to let things go. I'm not going to go around and try to destroy their reputation. I will tell the truth. Anybody wants to know the truth, but I am not going to intentionally try to hurt them anymore. Let it go. If you don't, God's not going to be happy. Lord, help me to do what I preach. God will not bless bitter, angry people. Let it go. Marilyn Hickey tells a story of a woman whose daughter was murdered, and this young woman wanted to be a missionary. And this guy kidnapped her and murdered her. The mother eventually forgave him. It was really hard. And then she went to the prison where he was, forgave him in person, told him about Jesus and won him to the Lord. And he began to preach and minister to people in that prison where her missionary daughter could never have went or could never have gone. Can you say? Yeah. If she hadn't forgiven him and went and forgave him and prayed with him, he probably never would have gotten saved. We must forgive. You see, this is the miracle power of forgiveness. When he was truly forgiven, I mean, how many know people are demonized? People that are demonized and they need to be saved, they need to be delivered, that thing needs to be broken off of them. And it wasn't really them that did it. The devil used them. And so if you can bring them to forgiveness and repentance, you can not only save their soul from hell, you can help produce a man of God that can preach the gospel. Look at Saul of Tarsus, cold-blooded murder. God forgave him and called him to be probably the greatest preacher ever lived up until now. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. I wonder what that means. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room, here it is, leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. In other words, you try to take revenge, you remove the room that God needs to deal with it. Now, Scripture actually says that if you try to get even yourself, then God will not, there's a real chance God will not avenge you. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not take revenge, but trust God. Satan's disobedient people want to repay evil for evil and take revenge. We can't be like them, and we cannot agree with them, and we can't run with them. You see, this means they will not be forgiven, and I don't want to be in that category. But God will bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Luke 18:7 again, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? By the way, who said that? Jesus. He never intended for you to be a doormat. He intends to take care of you. Those people in the church have been abused by their bosses, and their bosses wind up getting fired. You don't mess with people that really love God and know God and live by the book, the Bible. But God will bring about justice for chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. We do not need to repay evil for evil. God will. For a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. We must forgive if we want our sin debt canceled. Not forgiving others will prevent the blessings we are believing for. We forgive because revenge belongs to the Lord. Let's all.